This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Live across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, streaming online at Joy, and of course on podcast, which people in Canberra download, Tass. Did you know that?
475,000 listeners.
Yes. And how many podcasts? We're nearly past 250,000 podcasts.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, this is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's longest running and flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program. An ever-changing mix of local and national news, current affairs and commentary. And Tass having a hissy fit. All framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca. Good morning. It's Saturday the 8th of December. And on behalf of Saturday Magazine, I acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to elders past, present and future. I'd also like to pay my respects and honour the diverse leaders of our LGBTIQ communities. And welcome, Sally Capp. Good morning.
Good morning.
How
Who's
are you?
Who's excited? Can you feel the Christmas cheer and festive spirit
yes.
around town?
You know,
Well, I can now because I've got my gingerbread
man. Person.
Yes.
A person, of
my
course.
My father used to call Christmas the festival of the Jewish troublemaker.
Okay, I'm not going there.
No, I wouldn't.
We had a brilliant blessing of the nativity scene, which is multi-faith blessing. And we had grade two from St. Lawrence Primary School there. And right in the middle of my speech, when I'm talking about all the great things and how important this time of year is for families, one of the kids put their hand up. And I thought, oh, that's cute. Well, I'll stop and answer a question. So he asked a question about the big Christmas tree right there in what we call Christmas Square at the moment, Federation Square, and he seemed satisfied with that and all went well. So I looked back to my notes and then another hand went up and we started this flurry of questions. And thank goodness we had all of our multi-faith reps there because they started to be quite difficult. You know, how was Jesus born? How was God born? Is God a person? Mm. Lots of questions about Mary. And then we had a question about how are stars made? And I said, well, we're really going to need a physicist or somebody with a science background. And one of the ministers from St. Paul's said, actually, I'm a science teacher. Mm. And he jumped up and gave us all a lesson on gases in the universe and how stars are formed. It was amazing. So you never know where you're going to go with these things.
And you didn't have any questions about Allah or Buddha or anything like that?
Well, not this time. We were at the nativity scene, so it was quite specific to that scene. But it was multi-faith and it was lovely.
Multi-franchise.
I always enjoy going to the Hanukkah lighting ceremony in St Kilda.
Mm. Oh.
And on Monday night when they light the final candle.
Did you see Tim Wilson?
No, I haven't seen him there, actually.
Oh, what a shame.
Macca, you've distracted me. What I particularly enjoy is the sharing of food at the end of the ceremony.
Lovely.
And they actually dish out donuts, jam donuts.
Oh, now you're
talking. So I just can't have enough of those.
Oh, yes.
Just can't have enough. Anyway, what an amazing couple of weeks we've had.
It has been terrific. The city is really, if you've had a chance to walk around after dark, it's really spectacular. We've got three different places around the city with light shows and illuminations, and Town Hall is lit up every evening, which I love, and Federation Square and Docklands. And that, in addition to all the other things happening, I did bring in gingerbread because the Gingerbread Village, which is located at Fed Square this year, is extraordinary. The detail, they have icons from around Melbourne, including Luna Park and the MCG, Royal Children's Hospital, because it's a gold coin donation to support the Royal Children's Hospital, Town Hall, And then we have this in the middle of it, this amazing palace, which is a copy of a palace from Osaka, because we are celebrating our 40-year sister city anniversary with the city. It's our oldest sister city relationship, and we have the mayor of Osaka arriving next week, and he will be coming to visit the gingerbread village as well. I don't think he realises it's on his itinerary to come to a gingerbread village, but he's coming because Epicure have done the most amazing job with this gingerbread village. Yeah, the palace is gingerbread. It's really worth looking at. The detail is fantastic.
So, I mean, because we've got, you know, this fabulous season at the moment, the city does look great. Giving, it's all about really giving, isn't it?
It is, it is.
And the city's trying to create a sense of cheer and festive spirit and inclusion.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about giving?
Well, we do try to create an atmosphere in the city where families can come particularly and really enjoy special experiences together. But I have been overwhelmed, and the city of Melbourne has been overwhelmed with people saying, well, how can we help other people at this time of year as well? So on our website, we have lists of the organisations around town that have special appeals on at Christmas time. You may know the Salvos have their carolers going around town accepting donations. They're often singing right outside my window, which is appreciated. Perhaps a few different songs, but it is lovely.
It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it?
It sort of is, but it is beautiful, and their voices are divine. And Brendan Nottle does such a great job. In fact, I went out with the police last Friday night on the sort of 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift, and we went around the city and we looked at our whole CCTV. I've gone off track here. But we finished at the night cafe, and it's just extraordinary.
You've been up to 3 a.m.
No, last week. Oh. That's why I didn't come in last week. and just to see the work that they're doing. And that's why it's so important to keep supporting the Melbourne City Mission, the Australia Post. You can drop presents and they pass them on and make sure that kids that might not otherwise get a gift
at
Christmas
time. They get there for
this Christmas? They're hand-delivered, yes. Okay. Yes, they will, definitely. So lots of different things happening around the city, and one of the things that I've just done on Friday is make sure that I bought lots of the Big Issue 2019 calendars, because they do such a fantastic job in supporting people experiencing homelessness, and they're working, those people.
I know, it's good. It's
such really worth supporting them.
And that initiative, the Big Issue, I'm just trying to think how many years it's been going. It's got to be pretty close. It's more than 10,
I'm sure.
We're
going to have to Google quickly.
Yeah, we're going to have to work it out.
Because it is, it's an institution, and we've just been helping them with introductions into other city councils around Australia.
I used to write every now and then a motoring column for them.
Oh.
For free, when I was a journalist.
You could still do it, you know.
I could.
You should. You should do that.
I should.
I have to say, I mean, I support all those charities, but I do have trouble with one of them.
Okay.
And I just have to declare
this.
Tell
us about it.
It's the Salvation Army, who I have been a huge fan. I know Brendan. I've worked with Brendan
in
the past.
Brendan's been in here.
Yeah, yeah, and they're great people. But essentially, you know, they have some homophobic policies.
Right.
And we have attempted to ask them to shift their position, and they haven't done that.
He actually said on air that he was going to try and work out how to do that.
Mm.
25 years for the Big Issue.
And in fact, the truth is that there is a difference between the practice of Salvation Army and some of the head office policies. Mm. But at the end of the day, we all know that when those sorts of policies exist, they are a barrier. And they do create a barrier. So hate to dampen the story, because it is a great story, and I do think they do great work.
Yeah.
But, you know,
And we know that lots of people have a soft spot for the Salvos. I appreciate any organisation that does good work, but I don't appreciate an organisation that discriminates.
Hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Well, look, I will take your advice on all of that, and I agree, you know, in principle around that. But I do know that when you walk into the night cafe, the environment there is completely non-judgmental about who comes in.
I agree. Yep.
And so if that sort of environment can then be replicated across the organisation, I think you're saying, Tass, it'll be welcomed. Mm. But certainly that environment of help without judgment is something that we find in lots of organisations across the city.
The work they do is fantastic. fantastic. Hmm. We've got a message here from Dave from Sydney.
Yep.
Good morning, Dave. What does he say, Macca? He says, good on Melbourne for getting into the spirit and making it feel a bit more like Christmas. Here in Sydney is poor in comparison. There's a vote of confidence.
Hmm. Well, I think one of the aspects of Melbourne that is special is that we have such a vibrant city, really 24/7, brings lots of different people into the city. And I do understand from some of the different laws they have in Sydney that that's, in terms of curfews and lockouts, et cetera, it's created quite a difference in terms of how the city operates.
And in fact, what it has done is that it's actually shifted the problem to other parts of the city. I mean, those sorts of policies are okay for that area, but they actually don't deal with the cause of the issue. And if in fact, if you go to, is it called Star City Casino?
Oh, yeah.
Or Newtown or Erskineville or some of the western suburbs.
Yeah, it's alive.
It is actually really difficult.
But the CBD in Sydney, hopeless, seriously. And we're not even talking about the George Street light rail. Do you want to read that message, Tass, before
another
we go
message
to a break?
Thank you so much, Sally Capp, for your leadership and empathy during the recent tragedy in the city. We saw you consoling the local traders. Such a lovely person. You were the consummate professional. And any update on the statue for Sisto? I love my mayor of Melbourne.
Oh, that's
and that's from Melina Smith.
Thank you, Melina. Thank you for that feedback, and it was a very, very difficult time in the city. I hope it's going to be one of the most difficult things I have to help with while I'm the Lord Mayor of Melbourne. In terms of Sisto, we're working with Sisto's family about the things they would like to see. We've had so many ideas from the community. We have lots of processes underway around street names and place names and statues and festivals and food festivals and coffee festivals and those sorts of things. So we'll try and bring that all together in the first quarter next year and make some decisions about moving forward. But I'm going out of my way at the moment to make sure I just mention Sisto's name as many times as I can in speeches and activities around town, because it's such a lovely way to keep him alive in our... Exactly.
It is. Mm. Now, Tass, what rang your bell or pulled your chain or flushed stuff away for you this week?
Look, I think a new low for me was Barnaby Joyce's comments about trans kids.
Not the one where he wanted to hire spouses again.
No, Macca. That was a previous
comment. Can I say
comment.
That? He wants to root on the taxpayer's dollar?
No, I can't say that. No, you can't say that. No, you've got to be careful, Macca. We're on radio.
Controversial.
We're on radio. But I have to say, that was a particular low for me. Just leave it alone.
I know.
Really, how does it bother him? How is it an issue for him? How is someone's trans kid a problem for him? I listened to 3AW during the week. I really listened to 3AW during the week. But I happened to listen, and there was a bit of talk back in the afternoon, and there were some really angry mums who felt like they had been afflicted personal wounds by Barnaby Joyce's comments.
Yeah, well...
Because, they had trans kids. They're just ordinary mums in the burbs who are trying to raise their kids as normal, healthy kids, like anybody else wants the very best for their children. And here you've got one of our national leaders giving these kids a hard time. It's just wrong.
He's as authentic as a $3 note.
Yeah, well, that don't exist.
Yeah. Now...
And what rocked your boat?
Well, for me, I've been around politics for 45 years. And I'm somewhere between... Most people would say I'm somewhere between a trot and a fascist, which isn't actually true. I'm pretty much in the middle. Anyway, over that 45 years, I've seen some pretty appalling behaviour by politicians. But this week, and I was thinking about this last night, I was trying to think of another week in politics that has disgusted me more, probably November 11, 1975, when Sir John Kerr sacked Gough Whitlam. But that was a threat to democracy. The threat to democracy we had this week was our federal government not allowing or obfuscating around debate around kids and people on Manus Island that need medical treatment, and LGBTI kids in schools. Now, both these issues, really interestingly, angry old white men getting their knickers in a knot about kids, right? Now, this is the future of our country. And, you know, with regard to medical treatment for people on Manus Island, I want to know, and I'll call him out, Mike Pezzullo, the head of Australian Border Force, why do you think, mate, that you are better able to make a decision about the health of someone that is in our custody and care than a doctor, right? Sure, you're the head of the department and your job is border security. Your minister, who actually has been absent from Parliament for 2 weeks because he took the advice of his doctor, won't take the advice of other doctors, but his doctor. So what is it? But I don't get it. This is about people's health, about their physical health and their mental health. And our government disgusts me. It was a craven. It was political. And it was one of the most unchristian acts that I can remember. LGBTI kids in schools, the government gave a commitment before the Wentworth by-election and after the Wentworth by-election. The prime muppet, that's what he's been, ranting and raving about he will do anything to protect kids unless they're on Manus Island, unless they're LGBTI in school. Mate, it is time for you to step up, but I have never...
Or step down.
No, you know, the reality is, Prime Minister, you are fugacious. And that means lasting a short time. Your card has been marked by the Australian people. It was marked in the Victorian election, was marked in by-elections. Don't forget, all those parents out there, they won't forget. They'll understand what this means. Not just to LGBTI kids, but to kids on Manus Island. Think about it. That's why I'm so disgusted. Adults, we can look after ourselves. We can cope. This is about kids. And it's just not good enough.
Sally Mack has been preparing this rant now for a bit of time.
You are a disgrace. And I am ashamed. I am ashamed that you are our Prime Minister. And you get on the world stage and you make us look like a Muppet show. You're a disgrace.
Where do you go with that, Sally? Perhaps it's your turn to tell us what your political highlight or lowlight was.
Actually, Sally, you live in Hawthorne, Sally. How's it feel to have a Labor member?
Well, it's been extraordinary, hasn't it? The fallout from the state election and, yes, to be in an electorate that in the entire history of our state elections has only ever been held by Labor once before.
And that was before the Labor split.
That's
1952
right. That's
to 1955.
Right. What I thought was telling, as somebody that lives in that community, and I must say I don't know John Kennedy, but I'm looking forward to meeting him, is that John Pesutto gave a fantastic speech. And he really noted, I think, with a lot of kindness, but also I take John at his word that he thinks that the other John will be a terrific local member, and that gave me a lot of confidence. So
he'll certainly work it hard, won't he?
I think he will, from what has been said. And John Pesutto was a great member for our local community as well. Very hardworking, very visible, very connected into community activities, and it sounds like our new member will be similar. And that's what you want.
Yeah,
you want people representing your local issues and the locals and making sure that they're advocating those things that are important.
Reflecting the values and what's important to people today, not of last century, but today.
Yes, it was interesting, though, because our boys are 20 and 19 and so they're voting, and we'd had a discussion, our younger boy studying overseas, so he had to make the trip to New York to put his vote in because he'd missed the postal vote deadline. And so we were having a discussion and we were discussing safe seats. And the boys were saying, well, really, does our vote get to count? Because this has been such a safe seat for a long time. And we said, of course it does. It always counts. And so I had a really interesting conversation with William after it, saying, "Mum, it does count.
Yes.
Look what's happened." Good for democracy also in many ways. So it's been really interesting.
Can I just quickly ask Sally, and I'm not going to ask you how you voted, because I would disclose how I voted in the lower and upper house if someone donated $500.
Yes, we've heard that before, Macca.
No takers?
No.
No one's really interested.
No. Clive Palmer didn't have his checkbook.
We know that you're not voting for the Morrison team.
Probably not. What do you think, Sally, just quickly in terms of Hawthorne, living there, knowing the seat, that's an awful lot of people to change their vote. And I've lived in Hawthorne many years ago, Kooyongkoot Road. What for you? What do you think it was?
Well, I'm reading all of the opinions with interest as well, and it does feel like the Victorian and also the Hawthorne community were saying, and I hope this is true, that actually what we're looking for in Victoria is a welcoming, inclusive community, and where people can be respected and valued, and yes, things like safety are an issue, but safety for all, and we're looking for people to really champion those, and as Tess said a moment ago, it goes back to then reflecting the values and beliefs of people in your local community. So to me, it says a lot about that. I don't think that reflects John Pesutto on John,
yes,
because he's always been a very caring person. I think this vote was very much a reflection of what's happening at a state and a federal level, and a lot of the commentators have said that. And I'm encouraged by that, really, because the focus can move back to really debating programs and initiatives around what can we do. Melbourne's strength is its multicultural community.
Yes.
We just did a survey, Destination Melbourne did a survey on visitors leaving. And so it wasn't about what their expectations were going to be, what was their experience. And the top two things that they loved about Melbourne, the first one were parks and gardens, and the second one was the multicultural nature of our city. And the fact is that people are our new gold rush.
Yes.
And we need to see it that way. And when we have people come into our community, we need to then not just welcome them, but actually help them integrate successfully. And it's really not that hard.
That's a really nice line. People are our new gold rush.
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the criticisms of both the state and the federal Liberal Party is that it has been sexist in its orientation, it's been racist, and it's been homophobic. And how does that make people feel? Now, whether it's true or not is another point.
Unwelcome.
But it does actually make people feel unwelcome, doesn't it?
Mm.
It's actually the politics of division and exclusion rather than the politics of inclusion and kindness.
After you leave here, Sally, you're going up to open King and Godfrey, third generation. In Lygon Street, but also a special music festival as well.
That's right.
You're frocked up today.
I tried to be as appropriately dressed. I know when I get to Federation Square for the African Music and Cultural Festival that the costumes of all of the many nations that make up our African community will be much brighter than me, but I've had my best go. And I'm really looking forward to that celebration of so many unique cultures. And they do it really well, and it's going to be loud and bright and bold. And lots of people involved. There are 15 speakers from across politics and community leaders and business leaders, which just shows that there's a real commitment to our community.
Sally, so today you're going off to the African, but you're also doing a couple of other things during the course of the day. What are they?
Well, we're heading up to Lygon Street shortly to open King and Godfrey, which is the third generation of the Valmorbida family, have redone that entire building into a modern reflection of grocery, if you like, and delicatessen, which was started so many years ago. It's been in that family since 1955, and those things are really worth celebrating.
And it's been shut for a while, though, hasn't it?
It has, about 4 years.
Jeez.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing it, because it's sort of been like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We've all been wondering what's happening inside, and now the gates will be open. and we get to go in and enjoy it today. And Elsie Valmorbida, who is the nonna, will be there as well to cut the ribbon. And the boys look like they've done a terrific job. So, and Lygon Street is such a great part of our city, and I feel lucky that it's within the boundaries of the city of Melbourne, because it's a really good excuse to get up there and eat.
I drove past there this morning, and there's a lot of activity going on.
Good. Well, I'm very excited.
And of course, Macca, you might recall our previous producer, Pete Dillon.
Yes.
Worked for the King and Godfrey family.
He did.
In fact, I think he was their marketing or their PR manager for a while.
Good. Yes.
Well, I hope a lot of people come along today, because it's a great way to recognise our history, but it's really about the future, and that part of our city is important. So as well as going to King and Godfrey, you know, all those businesses are
I look forward to that.
Fantastic.
Now, what about New Year? What's in store for New Year?
So New Year's Day, you're going to...
Well, if you're going to invite me
I'd love to. Pop around.
You're in, you're invited.
We're
going to
be
good.
In
All right, I'll come and camp for a while.
And we would love to speak to you just for 5 minutes on Christmas morning.
Done.
We're on air as well.
Good.
There you go.
Presents and bubbles, I will discuss.
So what about New Year?
New Year, well, it's an extravaganza of light shows and fireworks. Two shows at 9 o'clock and then at midnight, 9 o'clock, so that families can really enjoy it. Did you know it's actually an alcohol-free, no alcohol outside in the zones? And we have this policy of dispersing the crowd for safety, and that's been something we've done for a couple of years now, and it works really well. So different live sites around the city. And we've coordinated also with the city of Maribyrnong, because it's a great way to look back at the city for Maribyrnong.
Of course.
And they've also got some fireworks there and exactly the same soundtrack and all of those things. So really well coordinated. And it's got a bit of a Game of Thrones theme. It's not officially that, but the new fireworks this year are things like crackling dragon eggs and flying dragons and spider shells, and there are things swirling and flying in different directions and making big sounds, and it's going to be exciting. 350,000 people we're expecting into the city over the course of the evening, and I've looked at some of the time-lapse footage from last year just to understand how the city works with that many people in it, and we have a lot of those temporary security bollards up around mostly to help direct traffic, but it looked so calm and enjoyable, and people really getting out and enjoying each other's company and using the fireworks and other activities. We've got live stages with DJs and videos and lots of family activities as well, so it's going to be fun. I haven't been in the city for ages. All of that is free.
Fantastic.
Mm. Awesome.
So come on in and
enjoy.
So
what are those locations, just as a matter of interest?
Docklands.
Fed Square.
We've got
outside
Yarra
the town
Park.
Hall.
We've got, not outside the town hall. That's just the Christmas.
Just
the Christmas stuff. But we've also got places up in Carlton and all over the place, Tess. But you
Sounds
can go
great.
Onto our website and have a look.
Sounds great.
Now I'm
onto the melbourne.vic.gov.au.
That's it.
I'm just looking at your ring. That's very similar to my mother's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A Salon Sapphire.
Yeah.
Are you insinuating something here?
No. I tell you what, it would have been a more immaculate conception than Jesus. It was.
My gorgeous husband, Andrew, actually surprised me with this engagement ring 23 years ago.
Well, has exceptional taste in women and jewellery. There you go.
That's kind of you to say. I think he does too.
Yes. What are the challenges, you think, Sally, for Melbourne for 2019? I mean, obviously, you know, security is an issue that we're all conscious of, and you know, it's about people feeling... I think about people feeling comfortable and people wanting to get on with their lives, but to still, I suppose, be aware of their environment.
Mm.
The city of Melbourne plays a really important role in this because, one, you're directly elected, and that's always a good thing. You have a good relationship with the state government.
Mm.
So what is the city of Melbourne, how do you see, what are the sort of things that the city of Melbourne can do to foster that environment of people feeling safe? because more and more people are actually coming into the city for a whole range of reasons, not just to work. You know,
that's
to,
right.
To live and to play and to
exactly
do cultural stuff. So how do you do that?
Well, that coordination with the state government and particularly Victoria Police is one of the most important relationships we have. And, of course, they have the lead predominantly on those issues, but we have a role to play. And it's also that balance between still being a welcoming city but having a sense of safety, because if you go too far, I know having lived in London and walking along Kensington High Street and seeing police with machine guns didn't actually make me feel safe,
yes.
Albeit that they were there for safety. So how do we get that balance? And for the City of Melbourne, having taken advice from the experts and working with Victoria Police, it's been very much about lighting. We're adding 30 new CCTV cameras. The major program has been the Bollards program, which is finished in Bourke Street Mall now. We're just finishing up the work around Flinders Street Station. So the high pedestrian zones particularly, where we put the Bollards, Princes Bridge is next. That'll be finished in Feb. So we'll continue to identify those zones and continue to roll out the Bollards. But interestingly, what the data shows us is the busier the city is, the safer it actually is. The more people and the more people activity. And so our daily population in the city at the moment is about 940,000 people coming into the city each day. And as Macca said, it's not just to work. It's so many different activities, including study, as you know. And over the next 15 years, we're expecting that to grow on the forecast to 1.4 million people. And so the proactive role that the local, our council plays with state government and agencies such as Victoria Police is really important to make sure that we can manage those flows and do it in a safe way, but also a welcoming way.
Great. I mean, I travel a lot, and the best part about coming back to Australia is Melbourne, without a doubt. As a city, it works so well. It has a feel about it. You know, I love Sydney, but, you know, a lot of Sydney is dark. You know, it's not a welcoming... It doesn't feel a welcoming city in the way that Melbourne does. It doesn't have the...
So what do you think makes Melbourne welcoming?
I think... It is our multiculturalism. It is the breadth of our shops and our restaurants. It is the wider streets. It is the parks, and it is the fact that I think people work hard at making Melbourne a welcoming place.
I think the grid's got something to do with it. To be honest, I think the grid's got something to do with it.
Yeah, it does.
And I think I hear your point about wider streets, but we've actually got more walkway.
Yes.
And if you look at a lot of the streets in Sydney,
we don't have a high line.
They're yet. Almost like a lot of the streets in inner Sydney are a bit like highways.
Yes.
They're one way. And so you have cars speeding through, and so the emphasis is on car travel rather than walkability and pedestrians. To me, that's a big difference. I mean, we've got all the lanes
and
that really...
And our laneways and our...
Which are designed to walk through, not drive through.
Yeah.
So to me, that's one of the differences. Mm. And I do think that what really matters is what happens on the ground level and the speed by which you can commute through. Mm. So in Sydney, you've still got almost highway-like roads and, you know, big sort of mammoth buildings, whereas we've still got all those lovely, cosy shop fronts to walk around. It just makes such a huge difference, I think.
How's Highline coming along?
Well,
my favourite project.
We're still going through that scoping phase, and we're just about to start planning for our next financial year. So we'll make some decisions about what those next stages are, which is fantastic. But just to pick up on this point about welcoming, I'm so interested to hear your comments, because so many of them are about people and also the way people can interact in our city, making sure there are those spots. And you reminded me to do a shout out, because this week we had our celebration for our volunteers. So all those people in the red shirts and jackets that are there to answer sometimes the most ridiculous questions, like how long does it take to drive to New Zealand from here? We'd like to see the scene of the earthquake, which was actually somebody seeing that sculpture outside the State Library. on the web and thinking that we'd had a massive earthquake, things like that. But those volunteers, 400 of them, are those warm faces and embrace people as they go around the city. And if and I see them approaching people even if they look partly quizzical about where they are. And so we had this celebration at Town Hall. Anthony Kalia sang. He rocked the joint. Everybody was on the dance floor. And we have volunteers up into the late 80s doing the twist. And it was absolutely fantastic to recognise and celebrate the effort they put into our city, because again, the data shows that whilst people want to be able to access tourist information digitally and 24/7, one of the things that makes the biggest difference is the human interaction.
It is.
My friend Lydia is one of those people,
and she
loves it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Absolutely loves it. She just can't get enough. She's given up work, and she's at a point in her life where she wants to contribute back, and she's really found her place being one of the
Melbourne
City Council volunteers.
I'm so proud of them, and I think they really make a difference in our city.
We've really enjoyed our time with you. We know you've got to go.
You've got to read this. This is a good one. Go and read that test.
A city's heart is its people. We're a European city, and we have that sense of culture and community. Sydney is the girlfriend you go out with, and Melbourne is the partner you end up marrying.
Well, I would say Sydney is when you take someone home from a nightclub at 2 and then you wake up the next morning and go, oh, dear.
I don't think we should get into a Melbourne versus Sydney
You've
thing.
You've taken things really to another level this morning.
It does a bit. Sally, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for
Enjoy
having me.
Enjoy the rest
Lovely
of your day
you
and best wishes for the season and
thank
the new
you.
Year.
Thanks
I may
so
not
much.
See
it's
you before
been
the new
delightful
year.
To be part of your program this year, and I'm looking forward to more of the same next year. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All the best.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.